Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed with a bit of a gravelly voice. I'm Ket Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
Oh, you make me all feel right at home. I had a little too much fun in the weather this weekend, but we're here to talk Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago. We have some more movie news, a little stuff from Uncle Bob Iger, and the much-anticipated Return of the Jedi from a Certain Point of View book has been announced. We'll talk a little bit about that and more. Before we get to all that, of course, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4Center. Over 180,000 titles. That's 50 to choose from for iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we have a 4Center recommends an audiobook, actually a new one. I think I forgot to change it in my notes, but I know a new one on the way that we're going to because it's on our shelves. Before we do that, we'll check in Star Wars Life Adventures, but we also want to update you on some cool stuff. It's our Ask segment, which a lot of you know, which is us going, hey, here's some things we're working on. Care to check it out? Because we love you all. Maybe that's not all the tone, but maybe that's my tone today. I don't know. Joseph, what do we got? Take the ball from me.
Well, maybe we should build to a goal where Tony Thaxton, who has written all of our credits music, could write like a 7-second little ask jingle. Yes. To introduce our segment. Maybe that will be a goal. We are thrilled about this week's ask because it's kind of an ongoing ask and also some new information. We are working hard to build our Patreon, looking back over the years of all the different ways that we've tried to make money and make sure that we could keep doing this and doing it the way we want to do it. Patreon has been the most consistent, the most stable. So thank you to everyone who has been there. So we want to make sure that we encourage that consistency and stability and build it. So we are building to a new goal. At $2,000 a month, we are going to do a special YouTube series. And when I say we, I mean Jennifer is going to do a special YouTube series. If you're not, if you're a newer listener to the podcast, in early years, Jennifer had two different shows, one called Jedi Beat and one called Happy Beeps. And they were both great because they had Jennifer's great love of Star Wars, her love of the whimsical side, her love of the people behind the scenes. But they also had this great investigative reporting era about them. We kept calling them NPR meets Star Wars. So we want to reshare some of those great episodes that are buried under our mountain of podcast episodes. So when we get to $2,000, Jennifer is going to add new visuals to some of those classic episodes into a 5-episode YouTube series, Jedi Beat and Happy Beeps Reborn. So that is what we are building to. If you've been listening for a little while, you also know that we're doing some new things with the podcast. On Monday, March 20th, the first episode of our new series, Indiana Jones and the Perilous Podcast, will be dropping on Patreon. Ken and I recorded that episode. We had a ton of fun. Shocker, it's kind of long. So come check that out if you're interested. And we also did pass a goal at $1,600, which was to do a special patron live stream Star Wars ranked episode. We passed that, so we will be announcing when we're going to be doing that one soon. So if you're interested in all that, patreon.com/forcecenter is where to read more. Jennifer, what are your thoughts on this new goal?
I am so excited. When I edited all these episodes on Final Cut, and so at one point there were visuals, and I used to get so sad. I was like, oh, if only people could see these dancing stormtroopers that I'm talking about. Yeah. Now we can share them. I would love, love, love to do this. It will be so much fun, because I am a visual learner. So it helps me, and it might be interesting to see, especially like putting a face to some of these creators that, you know, from back in the day, we've heard their names, but seeing them in the trenches, making these vehicles or whatever, it's just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, I'm excited. That's some of the best stuff here on this feed. And Joseph's right. We're blessed to have been, you know, going for so long and have so many episodes, but that's a lot of scrolling.
I know. I tried. I was like, I'm giving up. I can't find it. I mean,
Jedi Beat is like within the first 50 episodes of Force. Oh. We got like 1,400 now. Like it's so.
Wow.
It's yeah. Before Ken and I had kind of discussed it. Like, hey, I wonder if Jennifer would be interested in doing something like this. And so before I even brought it up to Jennifer, I was like, I'm going to take some time to dig and find some of the episodes we're talking about. Make sure I didn't imagine them. Make sure they're still there. And not only does my wrist hurt from scrolling back that far, but it's like a time travel machine, too. And like you're scrolling past episodes that are like, should there be a Boba Fett movie in 2020? And like, oh, you know, sweet summer children on many levels.
Absolutely. Wow. Is. Absolutely is. Well, yeah. That's a whole other fun conversation. We had to go back and add breaks to every episode when we switched to Acast, and listening to us talk about some of that stuff too is fun. But the point of this is these are some of the best work. It's Jennifer truly at her best in a way, just an intersection of so many talents and skills and influences and her perspective. So yeah, that's a big ask, but it's a fun one, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and then the asterisk I would add to our ask is we're pushing really hard on Patreon. We always want to acknowledge that for a multitude of reasons, Patreon just might not be for you. We totally understand. We appreciate that you listen and that you support us in all sorts of ways. We're pushing hard on Patreon, but we acknowledge it certainly isn't the only way to support us. So thanks to everyone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's just the reality. But also, you know, like I joke, we're not going anywhere ever. Joseph and I will be 90 saying, Jen, you want to come in and talk? We're in the old folks home. We got the recorders going. Force Center's here. But we're really excited about some of the things we're cooking up, and that helps make it possible. So there you go. That's a good ask. That's a big ask.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm.
Before we get to news, we're going to catch up on Star Wars for Life Adventures, as we often do. Life, Oscars, Star Wars, all a lot of things happened in the last couple of days. Jen, where did it find you?
One quick thing was my mother-in-law has been in town and she's like, I want to watch a Star Wars movie with the girls. I was like, okay. And she's like, you know, actually I heard about this show, that Star Wars show. I think that might be good. She's like, it starts with an A. And I said, Andor? She's like, yeah. I said, that's not appropriate for the three-year-old. I just remember my three-year-old watching the episode where the very first episode where we see Diego Luna going to, you know, the strip club. That'd be a little awkward. I was like, that's not appropriate. There are many other things. Maybe we can watch something on Disney. That was cracking me up. And then another thing, I just actually shared it on Instagram today, was I had found this old Academy Awards program from 1978. And I had forgotten 1978 was a huge year for Star Wars because that was the, you know, the year after the film came out. And so it was nominated for 10 Academy Awards. Mm. And there's one picture, I didn't include it, but there was one picture of Marsha Lucas excitedly holding her Oscar for winning for best film editing. And George is behind her. And it just, maybe I'm reading into it, but he just did not. I was like, oh, that must have been a very awkward conversation that night at home, because I'm sure that, you know, he lost out on best screenplay and best director. So, yeah, that was a tough one. But it was exciting to see all the awards that Star Wars took home that night. They took home six, and including an honorary award for Ben Burtt.
Mm. That's right. Yeah, that's right. His was honorary. Yeah, yeah. That's
you can physically see a lot of those at the Academy Museum in Los Angeles if you ever want to.
Oh, that's right. I got it back. Yeah, that was fun.
Love that. Oh, that's great. That's great. Perfect stuff there. Yeah, we'll get that doc the night that Star Wars went to the Oscars. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. Joseph, Oscars much more closer than you. I have one hill between me and the Oscars, but you could probably smell the perfume close.
I mean, it is always weird that it's close. I went to see Scream 6 on Saturday and had to, you know, go around all the places that were blocked off, and it's like, why are there lots of camera people speaking with German accents? Oh, okay, I see. Everybody from across the world is setting up their little corner to do interviews and all that. So yeah. Definitely in the neighborhood. And then it's very weird on the actual awards show, you know, they had their kind of montage at the top of all the different movies, and then they did a bit where Jimmy Kimmel is in a plane with Tom Cruise, and it looks like he parachutes in, and there's a shot there on the live broadcast. There was a shot real quick of two actual fighter planes that, if you're just watching the broadcast, you're probably like, oh, cool, great B-roll you guys got there. But as I'm watching this, I get really annoyed because there's a super loud noise outside and I can't hear the Oscars anymore. We realize, oh, those are actual jets, and they're physically making it impossible for me to hear the bit on television because the actual jets are too close to my home.
That's funny.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's so funny because it is glamorous. It is exciting. It should be to celebrate stories and keep people excited about them, keep people going to the movies and that. But, you know, at the same time, Hollywood is just a neighborhood. So there's that weird contrast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the year Ellen ordered pizza. That was the spot that Josh McCook and I would always order pizza from. The lines are clogged. We're at his apartment. Like, we can't get the pizza. They've got it.
They're ordering our pizza. Hopefully the fighter jets drop some pizzas on the ground, not frozen, because, you know, I don't want them injured. So definitely that was a fun adventure this weekend. Big stuff for myself is I know I've been talking about working on that short film. I had a ton of fun writing it and shooting it, working with a bunch of great people. A mutual friend, Christian Ruvalcaba, helped me kind of learn all the ropes of modern filmmaking on the technical end, helped me hire some great people. So co-edited the film with me. So huge shout out to him. Phil Amar is, I'm sure Star Wars listeners are like, the voice actor of Oren Frita. a funny way to describe Phil, since he has many accomplishments, including constantly popping up as Bail Organa in Star Wars, is the villainous Pike leader in Book of Boba Fett. Phil is the star of this short film. It's called The Narrator. Been working on it forever. Finally got it finished, and this week started applying to film festivals with it. So that was a really exciting personal adventure to cross that that part of the finish line of the journey. Now I just need to get it out there and have people actually see it. And I've mentioned before, I've been waiting to open those custom figures that listener Will Dixon kindly made us. And I waited until the film was done, and it was my reward after that to open those custom figures. Will made amazing Lulilo Primark from Solo, and Elder Jedi Tara Sanube. Amazing. Tara is on my desk now staring at me. So thanks, Will Dixon, for that.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. I've been talking about that, Time Grappler figure he made, and it's you just look at it and go, well, why can't this exist? And like Kenner has, like, come on, just have Will make them for you.
mass produce. They're both amazing, because I've seen lots of custom figures that are like, okay, well, we'll kind of take this character's head and this character's vest, and we'll sort of repaint, and like, hey, there's no head that looks like Tara Sanube. Lulilo Primark is basically just an upside down head. There's and it's truly amazing work. Amazing craft.
Yeah. And Jen, you received Frog Lady, right?
Yes. Wow. And it's same. I don't know how you did it, Will, because it looks like it's an official figure. I'm just like, and it came with little eggs, which I had to put away because I knew that they would get lost. So I stored them safely, her eggs.
No, it's great. No, look, Will is a longtime listener and we know his name in chats and everything, but he's just sent it to our PO box. He didn't tell me or ask, like, hey, I'm going to, because I got to admit, if someone had said, hey, I'm going to make you some custom Star Wars figures, I'd say, like, I'm good. I've seen some of them, I've seen them. He didn't do that. Will just was like, hey, something's on the way. And I'm glad, because they're wonderful. And I would have shut that joy out of my life just based on the made a custom figure. So they're great. They're great indeed. Well, that's awesome. Glad that's a great just reward for working so hard.
Yeah, it was really nice to have that reward. And I'm really glad that I waited until I could just give sort of like all my focus and do a loving photo shoot with a candle of Tara Sanube. So thanks again, Will.
Yeah, thank you, Will. Almost getting the news here, but my Star Wars adventure is pretty simple. I did do a short. It was an impromptu short. I was planning sitting down to do a Puffer Pig short on our YouTube and a Rio, which is our Instagram channel as well. You can watch that. But I was like, I'm going to make one on this little piece of art I found. I was, I don't even know how. I was on Etsy, and I'm not on Etsy's often, right? Occasionally I'll try to look for some cool Star Wars posters, or I have a great Indiana Jones poster I got from Etsy. And I was on there, and I discovered this artist, Morgan. Her company's M Galactic Art. And she has a lot of wonderful things on her page. You should all check it out. Some wonderful Star Wars things. I think a lot there for a lot of folks. She has a Death Star explosion patch, and it is when Jan Dodon is briefing everybody, and here's what we got to hit the exhaust port, and you got the circle with the little explosion inside. It's just the most simple, beautiful design. She's making patches and an enamel pin, and I just fell in love with it. It means a lot. It's one of those things I love about my Star Wars art that I collect. It's if you know, you know. If you don't, it's going to start a conversation, and it's not. It's not out there that Star Wars, it's just something that's kind of subtle, and I love it. And I want to shout her out. So Morgan, thank you, let me purchase these. I saw these and I just added the cart. I just kept adding the cart. So, I'm going to get these patches on. I want a hat version. I might write her and be like, can you make a hat? Cause this would be a perfect stage hat. So, love that search. Let us know ever you're out there. Tweet us if you find some cool pieces of Star Wars art or memorabilia or Etsy finds. That's always fun. I love that kind of stuff and supporting independent artists.
Yeah, you are great at tracking those down, Ken.
Thank you. I don't want a Target shirt. I love Target. I don't want. And by the way, I have the Millennium Falcon shirt everyone has. Got a Target. By the way.
I think we all thought that one was real unique, and then it just,
yeah, exactly. I had it too.
I got it. It's all good. Well, let's get to some Star Wars news. We've got The film slate, a week of rumors and news bites. And I'll say this. I think lately I personally have been a little more grumpy, maybe even grouchy about some Star Wars news. I don't mean that to be. Sorry, I'm confident. The overriding mood here. I'm actually having fun with this story today, but don't read too much into my snark because let's just get right into it as I try to recover here. Jenkins out. Feige bench. Watiti to absolutely star in his own Star Wars film. The Lindelofians are set with the script and actors, and it's all definitely going to be announced or not. We'll see. Here's my point on this. Last week, Variety ran an exclusive saying, well, nothing. And again, I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm saying, what was actually news? Nothing seemed like cold, hard facts. These are reporters in the business. I trust what they're going to put out there. But it suggested that Rogue Squadron has been entirely shelved, with sources saying it's no longer in active development. Same for the Feige-led Michael Waldron-written feature, no longer in active development. And then Taika Waititi's project is said to still be in development, a la Jojo Rabbit, and, well, pretty much everything he's done, Taika would have a part in the film. It did not say star in it. Did not say that. In it... You know, that we'll get to that. So let's stop the Hot Scoop Express right there. What is your reaction to the overall story, Jennifer?
It is interesting because I was like, wait, this isn't new, right? But the Feige thing actually was a little bit of news to me. Yeah. Right. I'd missed it, or that was like, oh, okay, I guess he's out. And the Lindelof project for me is the only thing I'd put my money on right now. Mm-hmm. I think that they're staying quiet because they're working, not because it's not happening. That's my thing. And the Taika movie also kind of surprised me. I think it's good. He's not starring in it. I have some speculation on what it could be. I'll save that. But I do imagine that one's several years off and may never happen as well. Who knows? But yeah, I was kind of surprised. I'm like, wait, why are they reporting this? Why now?
Yeah. And to be clear, like there's some little clarifications, details to things that if true, and I believe it is true from these sources and Variety and Deadline that you know, it's interesting. I don't want to say I'm not interesting. I just was a little surprised. And this is, I want everyone listening to be clear, no shade here. I just was seeing the tweets and the YouTube thumbnails, even from some wonderful friends of ours, announcing this news, discussing news, as they should, because we're doing that here as well. I get that. But I was like, so then I went to the article, right? I hadn't had a chance to catch up to news yet. And I was like, well, okay, this is nothing from StarWars.com, nothing official, of course. And it all makes sense. And I think that's the thing, Joseph, to me. It's like, yes, no, this all makes sense. I'm not surprised by any of this. So it just doesn't feel new, even though there's some clarifications. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, it felt like not new, but a step down the path.
Yeah.
I think the last sort of news, if all of these sort of really traditional Hollywood outlets with their, you know, vetted sources are to be believed, the Rogue Squadron film, well, and also Patty Jenkins, because Patty Jenkins just came out and said it, right? That, like, yeah. Hey, yep, you know, it's still in development. It may happen. It may not. We've talked before about, like, these kind of deals are happening all the time. As we're speaking, you know, 1800 things just went in development and 1800 things just went out of development.
Yeah.
That's normal. It's just that we are so hyper focused on Star Wars. Fair enough. With Rogue Squadron, there was a big announcement with the trailer and everything, from Patty Jenkins. So that one's a little bit different. The Feige led Michael Waldron stuff, that's happening all the time, right? And you don't hear news necessarily about it. So this did feel like news to me from the perspective of Luke. If it's all true, which I kind of believe it is, because I believe, you know, the reporting, and it makes logical sense to me, it's just all about narrowing down. It supports the idea that the Lindelof led project is moving forward, because as the vision of what the next film is, the era, how it might all work together, is that crystallizes. Other things that don't work with it are going to fall away. And Kennedy herself has said things like that, of like, we're trying to figure out of all of these things, you know, what all works together. So to me, it felt like news, like, yep, we are narrowing in on our vision. And so a couple of these things are falling away.
Yeah. And there's something about that excites me in a weird way. And this is not about Patty, not about Feige, Michael Walton, anyone. I just think there's, like, all right, the clarity that I think we all seek, and I do seek it as well, would love to have it at Star Wars Celebration, I think we, you're right, Joseph, that it's kind of a well said as compared to my Monday morning snark here. we're kicking the rocks down the road in a good way. Okay, it's getting there. It's getting there. And I was going to kick this back to you both here. So I'm doing a lot of kicking today, apparently. Because of that Rogue Squadron announcement, because of Investors Day, because of sometimes the message has been muddled, whether it's Lucasfilm, Disney's fault, or sometimes scoops get out in front of the company, which I think happens more often than not, as we discussed here. Is this one of those cases where maybe they could just be like, hey, it's not happening, and here's a statement on it, or here's something official. I don't think you're going to have Dan Brooks and Star Wars. I can't write it, but, you know, Kathleen Kennedy says something even before Celebration, or, hey, this is a story. Does that help at all, or do they need that? And it's just like, we'll see you in London.
For Rogue Squadron specifically?
Yeah, specifically, or even Feige, or any kind of thing. I don't know what I'm asking. I just sometimes do want them to be like, hey, we're hearing this. Almost like James Gunn is out there on Twitter right now. You know, I'm not going to be on Twitter. Yeah. Bob is, but, you know, I don't expect her to be like, you know, see my Instagram story on Rogue Squadron. But that's the only thing sometimes maybe I feel I wish I could get from them.
I think James Gunn, well, I know James Gunn has a background as a performer, and he already has a personal and vocal presence on social media, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes sense for him that he's not the only person. You know, there was other person hired with him whose name is escaping me right now because this isn't Marvel Center. Yeah. So that I think he's been hired as like, yeah, I am the creative person. I'm also the carnival barker. I am the ringmaster of this three-ring circus, and I've already kind of, that's already my personality, and that's already the way I interact with people. Yeah. I don't feel like Lucasfilm has a person like that, so I don't want them to try to emulate that. It's natural from Gunn because it's his relationship with the public already. I personally don't need public announcements from companies of, we've decided not to go with this. I want forward moving announcements, and Patty Jenkins has shown her willingness to say her side of the story publicly. Kevin Feige knows that he will be asked about this. Michael Waldron knows that he'll be asked about this. We will hear their side because they'll be out there, you know, doing a promo for some, you know, a small, beautiful indie film about their family, and people stick microphones in their face and go, what happened to your Star Wars movie? It'll happen. We will find out that information. I don't personally need, I want clarity from Lucasfilm about forward movement. I don't want them to encourage that. It should be a spectacle, that the development process should be a spectacle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. I think you definitely agree that there is no person in house that's in this role. You know, it ain't Pablo. He doesn't want that role and shouldn't have the role. That's not his job. James Waugh's out there a lot, but he's now protected on Twitter and everything. He's, you know, I follow him, and so I get a lot of great political takes. I don't expect Star Wars takes from him. Yeah, you're right. There's no one in there. You know, Favreau's not in that position, and he's not on there either. Too Instagram, maybe you can share a blurry picture of development. Yeah.
And Kathleen Kennedy steps up to that role when she needs to. She does, you know, presentations at big conventions, I think that I got no problem with that. I think that's fine.
Yeah, Jen, who should it be? Should it be Uncle Bob?
Yeah, I love Uncle Bob here. He's always so candid, but in a nice way. You know, I had an incident this morning. I called my doctor because my daughter is sick, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I have to reschedule my appointment. Can we do it on Thursday? She's like, well, how do you know your daughter's going to be well? I said, Well, I'm pretty sure she's going to be well. She said, call us when she's well, that when we can schedule. And I was so taken aback by that. I kind of feel like that with Lucasfilm. Let us know when for sure you guys go to production. I don't need to hear like, oh, we think this is going to happen. This could potentially happen in the future. No, I'm like the receptionist. Yeah. Call me when you're well, Lucasfilm. let me know when all the pieces are in place, because it affects and doesn't really affect me personally. Please, I just sit here and I chat about it, right, and make Instagram reels about it. But there is something to be said about, like, I kind of like that Lucasfilm just puts their head down and they just work, and then they surprise us, and they're like, surprise, we have this new show. Or whatever. I like that. I don't think the Patty Jenkins thing, I don't want to say it burned me, but it did make me feel a little disappointed. I was like, oh, I got my hopes up. So now I'm just a little bit more cautious with my heart going forward.
No. Yeah. The only thing I'd add to that, not as a counter, but it's like the only thing is sometimes a reporter reports on Disney's trying to schedule their appointment for Thursday.
Exactly right.
Sometimes it gets out there, and that's what I just heard. Jen Landis says she will have an appointment Thursday. Or we'll not have an appointment Thursday. Yeah.
And I agree about getting ahead of it on the positives of this is happening. We cast this person. I would love for them to be more proactive about things that are happening. There's so many people in the world who are working so hard to get their creative voices out there. And there's something that always just kind of bums me out when I see a headline of like, so much oxygen being taken up by people who are already successful that you see headlines that could be about a new voice emerging. And instead the headline is, here's something somebody's not doing. Cool. Great. Can we get some, to be so famous that people report on what you're not doing today.
Right.
Let's get a little bit more. What are people doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Netflix did not take off his sweatpants today, though. and all good. Yeah. And getting the investor day thing. It was investor day, right? They had to show that whole thing. And I don't even say that cynically. Like, this is kind of where we're at. The business and creativity is always going to smash into each other. That's part of, well, I'd say that's about 90% of the frustration in this town, isn't it? So one of the final things, this section, though, I did, you mentioned, Jen, maybe it's a good spot to talk about it. It's one of those four center temperature checks, checking back in on our thoughts on a potential Taika Waititi Star Wars project now that he's going to be starring it in every scene, which may end up being the case, by the way. But I saw a lot of that headline wise in tweets and videos, but the article did not say that, just that he'd be in it. And that's, I would have put all my money down on that. So Jen, we'll start with you. Any thoughts on what this could be and what you're feeling about this right now?
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit more excited than I initially was. And I like the idea that he's not going to star in it just because he is such a big personality to me that I would have a hard time not believing him in the Star Wars world. But you know what I mean? It's one of those things where he's like such a big star. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's Taika Waititi in a Star Wars project. But I kind of think where he might work well would be a film like a Jabba's Palace or Weird Creatures, the Weirdos of the Galaxy, Bounty Hunters. I don't know. That side of Star Wars, I think, could be really interesting. And bringing the humor, the weirdness, I would love to see it kind of like, he knows how to upend things, right? And I think it could be really exciting to see that in that part of the galaxy. I don't need him to tackle Jedi or anything like that. I want him to go full weird. Give him free rein to go full weird.
Go full weird. I like that. Joseph, how weird do you want it to go?
I'm happy for Waititi to go full weird. I agree with that. But wanted to bounce back quickly to the actual Jenkins and Feige projects, because we were kind of talking about the announce or not. Should Kathleen Kennedy come out and hold a funeral dirge for the projects that are no more? In terms of the actual projects, I always want to be really respectful to the people who are super excited about Rogue Squadron. I'm always really affected by people who grew up with those video games, those books. That's such a huge part of Star Wars that I think does deserve a spotlight. So I am personally fine with this version of a Rogue Squadron starfighter movie not moving forward. I would really like to see somebody successfully tackle a Rogue Squadron type movie. That to me is the big loss. I really like Patty Jenkins and her work, but if any of the reporting is true where there was some disagreement about the script, I'd rather see a Rogue Squadron type film by somebody who is real in sync with Lucasfilm, and then also I want to see what Patty Jenkins makes if she goes and makes an indie movie, that is exactly what she wants it to be. I don't like the either or either. Movies should be entirely independent, or you got to be in absolute, lockstep with the big companies. Like, they're valid ways to be creative, and they're both valid. So I think we could win if we got an indie Patty Jenkins movie. And then also got a Rogue Squadron type movie. And then for the Feige thing, like, he's got his hands full. So does Michael Warden. We didn't know anything about the film. So that brings me back to Jennifer's wonderful full weird. I so agree. I hope that Taika Waititi's project is still in development because it fits into the timeline in the other film they're developing. If the Lindelof-led project is real and it is the big, explosive, high stakes return to the galaxy far, far away, introducing new characters who might go on to be the new big three, big four, big five, whatever it is, the new era of Star Wars. And then Waititi's project is happening in the same timeline, you know, attached to the same general state of the galaxy, but it is something smaller. It is something off to the side. It is something different, bonkers, weird, and allow it to be advertised that way, to not say, yes, here is Taika Waititi taking the, you know, the big epic flag from Lucas, Abrams, Johnson. Just let him be Taika Waititi and advertise it that way, so people go in with the expectations. I think big thing with Taika Waititi right now is he loves to balance big, bonkers, absurd comedy with deep emotion and important ideas. And when the balance is right for an audience like Ragnarok, they love it. When the balance is just off, like Love and Thunder, which totally fine if you don't like it, but that movie is about huge, important things. Mm-hmm. And the balance between the absurd in the comedy and the depth was off. So people just didn't, a lot of people just couldn't see or engage with the depth. So I almost feel like if you advertise it as bonkers, people go in with it like, okay, show me the weirdest alien you got, Taika. Mm-hmm. do the weirdest bits you got, and then discover the depth. I think that might land better.
Yeah, I agree. As we looks like we're racing towards this, what I call the Lindelofians, the movie project. That just seems, the feel seems right for what you're saying. Not that Taika couldn't, you know, do something big and epic, but that's just not the track record right now. Even with those Thors, right? They're very much their own thing, even though they're within the Marvel structure. So I'd be worried about exactly what you're saying. If that is the next Star Wars film, and we got some wonderful, obtuse, awkward comedy moments, some heart, and we're like, people, nothing, the galaxy's not a stake, or that kind of stuff, almost like the Solo flashback. I just think there'd be a higher chance of that happening. So, but we'll see. Maybe that's the 2025 film. We don't know. Variety did mention that the Lindelof led directed and Britt Gibson co-written movie project is still in play, of course, despite not one official word of Lucasfilm to date. Again, we put that out there just to be clear about that. Later in the week, it was reported by Jeff Snyder and his loudness that this project has, I love Jeff, by the way, has project script done or nearly done, and that some of the key roles are cast. Namely Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and all of this is set to be announced at Celebration Europe in April, which of course makes sense, a Lucasfilm panel, the studio showcase, the first big panel of that convention. So, okay, friends, again, kind of nothing new here. Here come them clicks. Everyone's got these stories, but what do you think about this right now? We've already kind of been discussing it. I'll start by just saying, yeah, it just, all this just kind of feels right, that this came together. And that's what I want out of Kathleen Kennedy or anyone, including Uncle Bob, maybe even the other Uncle Bob, JPEG. I want anyone like, hey, this has emerged and this seems right. We need to go here to pivot. And this seems like a pivot over the last year or so, if this has happened. Again, I don't know any of that, but I love that idea. If they just are like, hey, this is starting to feel right. 3 years ago, we didn't even think about this. 3 years ago, we didn't even think about working with Damon Lindelof. But now we are, and this works, and this has that big, giant movie feel. We need to get it right, and we'll have some Bob Iger comments about that. it just makes sense to me. So I'm excited for something that's not even yet official. And the names aren't even, I've talked to a lot of folks who have some strong opinions about Lindelof off air. Totally get that. I don't have any skin in that game. I didn't watch Lost. I'm not invested as much. It just seems like a talented older man now, young man at one point, who's gathered a good team around. And I like that. So I'm excited about that as we move forward there. But Jen, any general thoughts on this story right now and them clicks that are coming?
The clicks are coming. And I think that the clicks might be right in this sense. I do think that we've been hearing about this project kind of simmering since, I think, October was really when it started to gain more traction. But I think that they've been writing since summer or something. I don't know. Or maybe that's when he assembled the team in October when the director became attached. I'm intrigued. This is a project I am excited about. And, you know, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, I really enjoyed him in Netflix's The Get Down, which was a series a while back. He was great in that. when you start throwing out names of people that are attached, like, you know, actors, that I'm less convinced of. It'd be fun if he is, but I am excited about this project, and I do think we could get an announcement at Celebration.
Yeah, that just makes a ton of sense. Joseph will be there with our notepads in hand, ready to take notes.
That is right. I'm with you both. I really feel like this it has good chances of happening and has good chances of being announced in Celebration. I think the fact that they've already scheduled that they're going to skip 2024 for Celebration, but they'll be back in 2025 really seems like the theaters are back. Disney Plus is great, but we need to reorganize that. If Star Wars is going to remain a strong presence, we need this fresh burst of, you know, new generation, 10 years after The Force Awakens, you know, we're ready for this burst of new. And like we've talked about before, this Lindelof-led project does seem like the best fit. It matches what Kathleen Kennedy was talking about in interviews of looking for somebody to kind of help shepherd and take a long-term responsibility for the film side. And I have seen Lost. We could easily do Lost Center, I think. I think there are Lost discourses that fall very similar to some of our Star Wars discourses of expectation and people really attaching themselves to a specific criticism and not looking past that criticism to actually analyze all that stuff. Yeah. Anyway, I saw some extremely strong, angry opinion about Lindelof this weekend, but I think what makes it on social media. So, hey, what are you going to do? But what I think makes this project strong, if it is all flowing the way that the reports have come out, whatever you think of him, Lindelof has a strong history in the business. He has producer experience. So combine that with a fresh and different voice. Mm-hmm. Is the director a massively accomplished voice, but Lindelof could possibly be there to really keep everything on the rails in terms of a producer role, and he could fade into the background a little bit, and this could really become about Obed Chinoy, right? In Britt Gibson and whoever is starring. I really take the Yahya Abdul-Mateen II with a huge grain of salt. I think he's great. That'd be great, but I'm really hoping that they do announce the title at Celebration. I hope that some people walk out on stage, including an actor. You know, one is fine. And I think the big thing is, won't it be a gift from moving away from discussing the behind the scenes, who is making the film, to what is the film? To go from who did Kathleen Kennedy have lunch with today to what part of the story is being explored? And that's the thing I'd be most excited about if there is an announcement of, if the film is set after The Rise of Skywalker, what are the stakes? A new threat coming to the galaxy? Is this a more intimate story of a family in a smaller system of planets that become a part of the larger picture? Is there a civil war as a new government tries to emerge? Are the Hutts like, fair enough, we're going to take over the galaxy? You know, is it Star Wars, the Hutt Wars? Who knows? But that is the most exciting thing to me. And that's the thing that I can't wait to have information about and have fun speculation about.
Yeah. So you're getting me excited, just your excitement for it. And first of all, everyone says, you know, Lindelof led. He's the name on the marquee right now, but I think you're absolutely right. It seems to be one of his strengths, at least for this project, is going, cool, I can help shepherd this forward and bring a team together. It's their story they're telling alongside me. I'll be here with you. But I think you're right. Within a year or two, maybe we'll be saying different lead names, you know. That's exciting. But I think that's you're summing up some of my feelings here that I was trying to say even at the beginning of the news segment. It's we're always going to talk about this. We need to talk about it. It's part of the Star Wars fandom. It's interesting. I'm just ready, especially 6 years after Rise of Skywalker, to just know because that's fun. And that's exciting. And going forward past Rise of Skywalker is so intriguing to me because I can't even imagine what that could be. Is the threat from within? Is the call coming from inside the Capitol? We'll find out. But I just want to know. And that what you're describing, you know, they're on stage. And by the way, so-and-so's in this film. Ah, great. Then we can start talking about it and looking forward to things. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. years of speculation ahead of us.
years of speculation. Final note in this winding road of a news story. Also, Bob Iger was speaking at the Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference, probably at a Hilton somewhere, and said that Solo was, quote, disappointing in terms of the box office, and that when it comes to the next film or films, we're going to make sure, he says, we're going to make sure when we make one, it's the right one. So we're being very careful here. This is in a bunch of other things in there, too, that I thought was interesting. Maybe we bring them up, maybe we don't, but just Disney Plus, the content, production costs, the rising production costs, all those kind of things. That's when the business, I never like spend a lot of time talking about business, but it affects things, as we've discussed before. But it's also kind of interesting as the streaming world moves forward and starts to find, oh, what we thought was working isn't, and we're already having to change. Anyways, one of the reasons I bring up the Solo thing before I pitch it to both of you is, again, that was then became a headline that was put out there in bad faith. Some people just addressed it as it is. It's about the box office. It's about more the marketing, more of what Bob had said back then. Hey, mea culpa, my bad on maybe the Solo stuff on how we got it out there, not the content. But if you want to use it and spin it into disliking Solo because you already don't like Solo, you know, I guess you had that door and you took it. But that's not exactly what he meant. But Joseph, I'll start with you here. Did you get a chance to listen to any of Uncle Bob?
I did not listen, but I did read the article. I read a couple different articles. I love that Uncle Bob is on his honesty campaign and is writing the ship tour, which is great. I think he does have, I don't think he's quite that like big personality to be like the circus ringmaster, but I think he also knows that he is a public figure and a public voice. And I think he is doing a great job of answering interview questions honestly. Doesn't sound like he's dodging, but he's also aware that every word he's saying is like a press release to the Disney board, Disney investors, and fans. And I think that he is starting from a place of honesty of like, hey, things are wobbly. It's the pandemic. Then, hey, I think the company went in the wrong direction with some of the way it was organized so that the artists weren't truly responsible for the results, which they should be, because then they're invested, and talking about charging too aggressively at Disneyland and the honesty of the streaming wars causing every major company to kind of get out over their skis about how profitable is streaming going to be, how profitable can it be. So he's just on this great, to me, honesty tour that he is managing really, really well. Honesty, again, within the context of these are, every word is is a press release. I think he's also still smarting from the decision of his own to release Solo too close to The Last Jedi. Streaming would have disrupted the Star Wars stories anyway, I think, because they'd be like, why are we developing these kind of stories? But I think if Solo Mary Poppins and been into December and it would have been Solo versus Aquaman, we'd be living in a different world where Aquaman might have beat Solo. But anyway, I think Aquaman did way better than anyone ever expected it to, you know.
That's true.
By like a lot, you know, in terms of expectations and in terms of kind of what a joke the character had been among superhero fans for a long time. So who knows? That might have been the upset, but it might be a different world. Last thing I'll say about this quickly is I do think the reason that the Star Wars films are in the state they're in is complex. In that Variety article that we talked about, that I do suspect a lot of the reporting is true, there's also like a drive-by blaming of Rise of Skywalker for Star Wars not having more films in the theater. It says the Rise of Skywalker imploded in spectacular fashion. The film earned just half the grosses of 2015's The Force Awakens, and the widespread scorn of fans and Star Wars movie development has been stuck in the bogs of Dagobah ever since. If I could take 1 second to push back on that.
Sir, I'll give you 5 because you're going to need to take up the time for the swear word I'm about to
Love. Yeah. So, like, obviously, it would have been great for Rise of Skywalker to make even more money. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the reviews are from critics and from general audience weren't great. A lot of people dislike this film, and a lot of fans dislike this film. Not trying to take that from anyone, but just going, Rise of Skywalker was a bad movie, and so Star Wars films fell apart. Ignores first the uniqueness of Force Awakens, which I'm sick of people ignoring. That like people came to the Force Awakens in that number because Star Wars is back in the original big three. We've now got used to everybody coming back. Mm-hmm. In 2015, it was still huge.
Yeah.
That all three of them came back. That was the impossible happening. The Rise of Skywalker was the end of the saga, and there was always a planned break. There was always going to be a question of what exactly is next. This does not account for Solo being a part of the concern. Another thing that I think is worth mentioning is that whole pandemic thing.
Yeah. I heard about that.
And then also historical context. Mm-hmm. I've heard people use this like Rise of Skywalker, you know, did half of Force Awakens. And yeah, it did. And I'm sure they would have liked it to do more. You know, it also did half. Empire Strikes Back did half of what A New Hope did.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the films go up and down, and it isn't this one and done. Obvious Rise of Skywalker is a bad movie, and therefore everything has been a mess. Again, full acknowledgement, it did not make as much money as it probably should have. It did not get great reviews. A ton of people don't like it, but there are a lot of other factors that are being ignored in that discussion. And I guarantee you, you know who isn't ignoring all those factors? Uncle Bob Iger.
Uncle Bob Iger. Well said, sir. Yeah, no, absolutely. And The Force Awakens. Look, try launching a YouTube series. The first episode does well, and then everything tapers off. That's human nature. I'm going to go, what's this thing? Ah, okay, cool. I'll forget to watch it again, or forget to go back to it, or maybe just not for me. And Force Awakens was that on a massive, massive, massive level. And when we celebrate it, a 10-year anniversary in 2 years, that's going to be maybe part of the discussion. Anyways, mm-hmm. I can't believe that number. Jed, Uncle Bob, all this, the Solo disappointing thing, you know, again, him speaking about the business side and how that spins off. What's your thoughts on all this?
I forgot that it was actually his decision on the Solo thing. That's why he brings it up, because I was like, why is he still bringing this up? That's why, is he feels a personal responsibility. I'll tell you what, if I was a filmmaker, I would want to work with Bob Iger because he's supportive of filmmakers, creators. He cares about the story. He cares about the art, but he's also very practical and a great businessman. And I like how he's talking about this, and he's assessing like Marvel and Star Wars. And he's like, Marvel has done well, basically releasing films back to back, but maybe we don't need the third and fourth one, right? Like that makes sense. And I think what they're realizing, that it also seems like Lucasfilm has realized as well, is that Star Wars fans are different. And we are more about quality, and no shade to Marvel, but we're more like, we don't mind waiting. We've been waiting for decades for films and whatnot, right? We have no problem waiting, but it has to be right. Star Wars is really an event in the movie theaters. And I think Star Wars fans don't mind waiting a little bit longer to make that happen. So I think that they're pumping the brakes and they're figuring out what's going to be right. And maybe it is the Lindelof thing, probably. But then we probably may not get another film until a couple more years. They're really taking their time, because also filmmakers and movie studios in general are figuring out the movie theater business, right? Which still hasn't recovered from the pandemic. And Star Wars has done incredibly well on Disney Plus, which is why you see that reflected in The Mandalorian season 3. They have a ton more money that they've put in that show. You can just tell, like Jon Favreau, you know, hyped it up. You can see it on screen. It is quote unquote expansive. It is expensive, is what I'm saying. So it's visual effects. They're not just in the volume. They are doing all sorts of wonderful things. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think that they're doing the right things by Star Wars. And I'm confident in Bob Iger and Lucasfilm's leadership.
I'm too. I understand a lot of the frustrations and like a lot of stuff we discussed there. By the way, you said expansive. I knew what you meant, but I thought you were going like expansive, meaning expensive. So
that too.
Both work. No, you're both saying great things about it. And we've always talked about it. You know, I'm not here to root for uber rich CEOs, and I'm sure, you know, Bob has bad days. I'm sure. But I just always get, that's why he's back. You just get that. You just want to sit around and go, yeah. Okay. You nod and share a cup of coffee and you go, oh, you know what? I'm with you. And I think that's part of his skills and taking in the bigger picture and owning it in his own way. I mean, that was the whole thing of his book that Joseph and I talked about. Mm-hmm. The book was, I've messed up a few times. Let me tell you about it. And I think that's a good approach. Anyways, a lot there. Any final thoughts on this whole story before we move along, Joseph?
No, I well, you know what? Yes, but I'm going to contain myself. No more thoughts will be shared on this. I'm excited to move on to our other topics.
Some more indeed. Jen, anything from you here? Any final prediction? Is Taika Waititi going to be a... No? Okay.
A...
The first super tall Ewok. That's right.
Yes.
Well, Brett. Yeah. You know, I don't have any predictions. I am really excited to see what comes out of Star Wars Celebration. It's gonna be funny to look back, right, after we hear the big news, and they're like, "We have a slate of 5 movies." Uh-huh. What? So who knows?
Well, that's funny because they do have that part of that hot scoop rumor reporting is that they have a 5-year plan and everything might be unveiled, blah blah blah. But yeah, this could be 9 years from now when Joseph's scrolling back, going, "Hey, we didn't know that we were 3 weeks away from some massive news or something like that."
Boba Fett movie. Yeah, who wants that?
There we go. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do, we have a Force Center Recommends. This is an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And Joseph, what do we have today?
We are recommending the new book, Battle Scars, by Sam Meggs. It is a book that is telling the narrative story of 2 video games. It is bridging the gap between the 2 Fallen Jedi and Jedi Survivor. And I'm really excited to dig in and read this one. I think it is the next one that Ken and I are going to read. We've fallen a little bit behind on High Republic. We would love to catch up, but we're probably going to read this one first.
Yeah, that makes sense for us. So hopefully it does for you as well. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrials.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrials.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. We take a break. On the other side, we got 40 years and 40 stories coming our way by Return of the Jedi. Stick around for more Force Center.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome back to Force Center. We are taking a look at Star Wars news, and this is a fun one here. It was kind of expected, but it's nice every once in a while when your expectations are met with confirmations. As I said before the break, 40 years, 40 stories from a certain point of view is back for Return of the Jedi. This is, like I said, as expected, we'll be getting another anthology of stories to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Star Wars film, this time Return of the Jedi, which, can you believe? Wow. 40 years. I was 7. That syncs up with my age. That's great. As revealed on This Week in Star Wars and StarWars.com, from a certain point of view, Return of the Jedi will arrive September 5th. Some of the highlighted authors and stories include Olive E. Blake going inside the mind of the Emperor, Mike Chen's tale of Anakin becoming one with the Force, and Fran Wilde giving us a tale of Mon Mothma and a secret mission to save the Rebel Alliance. Old favorites and new names are among the list of authors, including Phil Shostak, getting a step out from the art of, wonderful art of books to write a story as well. I'm looking forward to that one more than any of them, I'll say. Is there any particular story you're looking forward to hearing? Any thoughts on this, Jen?
Oh, I'm so excited to read Phil's story. Kristen Favor, so many friends are a part of this. And of course, Return of the Jedi, my favorite Star Wars film. So these are stories that are dreams come true for me. I am really excited to read about the tragic history of the Rancor Keeper, the life and times of the Sarlacc. A lot to tell there. And, you know, getting into the mind of Palpatine could be kind of scary and interesting. So... I love them all. And you know what else I love? I love that they are technically canon, even though we know sometimes they can kind of like contradict things. So we could see these tidbits on screen at some point. That delights me.
Yeah. And maybe even reworked in a fabulous way there. Solid and Amid's got that story about Malakili. Looking forward to that one for sure. Joseph, kicking this to you. Any story, anything you're looking forward to hearing? And, thoughts on 40 years and 40 stories of a movie we are around for.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see like the shape and the flow of this because, you know, by the nature of let's spend some more time with the perspectives of smaller characters. Half this book could be Jabba's palace and then like 3 chapters in the middle and then a bunch of Ewoks. So I'm curious to see just kind of like editorially how they managed to spread it out. But I am excited for some Ewok content. I know that they have, you know, advertised some solid Wicket content in terms of other smaller characters that would love to see featured. I know fans still disagree, but I think the bearded rebel trooper that we see putting on Biker Scout armor is not Rex. I think that is Nick Sant, and I would love a Nick Sant story. I know, Ken, you're a huge fan of Jer Gerard's doubt that is expressed in the deleted scenes and the novelization. So I'd love to see that back in.
Yeah.
I think there's some really interesting things to do with the spirit of Kenobi, particularly after some of the knowledge from the Kenobi show, all of that. So there's some like speculative things like, ooh, will this be in it? Will that be in it? For what's actually been announced, happy to see, you know, authors that we know like Adam Christopher and Kristen Baver, and thrilled for Phil Shostak. Also excited that they're just like a ton of new people in new voices, because I'm excited to see which one of those writers emerge to be writing full Star Wars books. Of the listed ones, Mike Chen's tale of Anakin becoming one with the Force is probably the one that I'm most excited about. I love Mike Chen's earlier stories. I really like the novel Brotherhood, and that's a potentially like really interesting. Fans have been debating and speculating, how does that work? How does he become one with the Force? I have headcanon about it. So it's one of those great, like, ooh, I'm really excited to read this, and I'm glad it's canon adjacent.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. That's a great example, Mike Chen, because this is how I found out his work. He's obviously been writing long time before the point of view books, but those are the ones that put him on my radar screen as a fan and led to Brotherhood in a way. It doesn't necessarily happen for every author that shows up on these lists, but, you know, some all-stars could emerge, some names we don't know. And I do love that. And I'm particularly looking forward to that. Yes, of course, I want a Jared Gerard story. Looking forward to Ewoks, but you're so right. The first From a Certain Point of View book had all those cantina tales and then a lot of rebel pilots. So we'll pass the ball around here. Could be a bit of a challenge. But that said, if you give me a Wicked story, which we know is coming, but also give me a Chirpa and a Low Gray, maybe a Princess Nista around the corner, I could do 10 Ewok stories. I'd be
absolutely.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's hear the Wistie's perspective on this.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you both have mentioned on it, these books seem to have fallen into that canon adjacent category, at least to be taken with more of a wink of a nod. I mean, it's literally in the marketing now. That is somewhat of a change. I don't know. And this could just be my perspective going into the first book, where it was, 40 canon stories explaining every corner of it. And then I got that book, and like I've said so many times, there's so many stories in that first one that I think of all the time. I love them. They just grab me and they move me. And there's some that I was like, I'm not good work. The Dianoga one is amazing. It's really artsy and impressive. I don't know if that's my version of it. And then it seems coming out of that book, especially in Empire, it was more of like, well, you know, wink, wink. It's from a certain point of view. You can take it as you want. And I don't know if that's just me. Jen, you seem to have a reaction there. What do you feel about that? And I could go either way. I don't need it to be, it is canon. I don't also need it to be, you know, completely legends. I like the gray area, but it's an interesting change for me.
Yeah, exactly. I do remember that one. It is very artistic. And sometimes these things, like, we have our own headcanons, right? It doesn't quite work with what we've built up in our mind. And I'm like, and I don't know if that's necessarily going to work on screen. So that's what's part of the fun of it is take what you will from it, right? From a certain point of view. If you like it, sure, it can be canon. If not, well, it's just, you know, a tale. Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It only, you know, it's interesting. We're dealing with, but getting to enjoy more R5 content in Mandalorian. And immediately a lot of people ran back to that story from a certain point of view, where some things were revealed or some ideas put out there, R5 and R2 and all that stuff. And so it's interesting. So it's like, well, we're going to think of them anyways. So we'll see what that happens down the line. So anyways, Joseph, I don't know. If the Sarlacc has some real, you know, sweet thoughts, will that affect your view of Star Wars going forward?
Yeah, I think that was one of our main takeaways in our review of The Empire Strikes Back one, is it made you feel extra bad for every creature in the film, which is like, yeah, I mean, that's fine. Anyway, I agree with you. I think that there was a little bit of a trajectory. I think I read that first A New Hope one with the idea that they're canon, and then got toward the end, and I think there was like a direct disagreement between the two stories of, what did the rebels not have enough of? Did they not have enough X-Wings to go around, or did they not have enough pilots to go around? Because I think they directly disagreed. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
this is from a certain point of view. If it's not even like, how's the character feeling? But if it's like getting into numbers and facts, like canon adjacent's just fine with me. Yeah. I think it's good for us to, canon can be really enriching because it's really fun for us to go, oh, at the same time this was happening to Han Solo, this is the state of the galaxy, this was happening to Obi-Wan Kenobi at the same time. Yeah. That stuff's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
But it can also be a prison where we get obsessed with it. And I think it's really healthy for us to have the opportunity to be presented. We always talk about the Star Wars buffet in terms of, like, you know, hey, here, if you like some gritty soup, here's Andor, right? You know, that kind of thing. That's flavor wise, some gritty soup. There's a lot of just dirt in the soup. Anyway, I like that gritty soup.
It's funny because you and I are
young children, right?
You and I, Joseph, have both talked about we're in our soup phase a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
Soups are delicious.
Because I bought some yesterday at Target. None of them gritty.
But, you got yourself a soup. I'll make some gritty soup while my wife's out of town. Anyway, I distracted myself with gritty soup. Right. Point being, I think this is literally like, I go through these books and there some of these stories I love in, they are all caps canon to me, and I don't need them to be all caps canon to other people. They inform the stories, they inform the characters in a way that I enjoy thinking about. In my head canon, yep, Yoda wants to train Leia. Obi-Wan communed with Qui-Gon while Luke was going to check on the homestead. Palpatine became aware of Luke because Vader was having an obsessive dream about he's still on the dark side, but Padme and his son are by his side. Bosk's sister is the chain breaker, who is a Trandoshan who has become a liberator of Wookiees. There's some stories in here that I love and that are like going to be canon to me. And there's some like, That's great. That didn't happen in my head.
I respect that other story on the head. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that did come across condescending, didn't it?
No.
It's just they're not for me. And if somebody else is like, hey, that's absolutely the way it happened. Like there's one of the Kenobi stories somewhere that like, oh wow. I love these elements of it. And I just, that one doesn't make sense to me. And I don't have to gnash my teeth over it. I just go like, yeah, maybe it happened. Maybe it didn't. It's a myth. It's a legend. That's fine.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's important to note the change. Cause I just think it's been a change in the time when that first book comes out in 2017, we're very much more in the early era of this modern Star Wars time where the canon of it all it's fun, right? You're getting things revealed. We're starting to look back and connect the dots. We got Captain Antilles tale. Like we know a little bit more. Like I loved it, and I don't think any of that's changed. I think the way the royal we of Star Wars podcasters and pundits, the way we talk about it is maybe changed or needs to change at times. Because I do really agree with you. It's a prison. It's a prison that I find myself locked in every now and then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just the way of it. So I think in this one more than even the Empire one, I'm kind of like, all right, I see what you're doing. All right, let's see what you got. Let's see. We got the tale of Arvel Crinded. Let's do it. Let's see what you say might have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing is like, I remember that there are ones I didn't like. And sometimes I remember like, oh, I kind of didn't like that one or I wasn't sure if I agree with that. But honestly, I spend so much more time thinking about the ones that I like.
Yeah.
Because that's where they live in my mind of like, wow, look at how that connects so well with this scene and that scene. And that's the one, those are the moments that live in my mind. I don't watch the Dianoga scene and point at the screen and go, didn't happen. Like it's just not something that I incorporate into, you know, my thinking.
I'm right there with you. That's a great way to look at it. What grabs you, think about it. Ruminate on that, and you can kind of just focus on the positive and move forward there. Well, this book comes out September 5th. We'll take a look at it. I'm sure, though, you know, we'll see where it lands on the bookshelf of books to be read. I just added another one inside January 6th. I got the inside scoop coming. I'm going to read that book and the High Republic. I'm going to do it one hand in each. I got it. That is a look at Star Wars news. Before we get out of here, we are going to take a look at this week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars past. And there's a few things out there that we could have talked about, but I wanted to focus on this one on March 14th, 1997. Return of the Jedi Special Edition was released and eventually added over $45 million to its box office total. We've spent years discussing the new Sarlacc, Jedi Rocks, and the great Yub Nub versus Victory Celebration music debate or controversy, if that's why you want to look at it. But as the movie ended and you walked out of the theater on your final big screen viewing of this version, where was your head and heart as a Star Wars fan? We are going back to 1997. For me, this is actually maybe a couple weeks after the release date. New films were on the way. George might have challenged you here with these special editions. Did it feel like, well, that's a wrap. Star Wars is all done again. Where were your thoughts, your Star Wars thoughts, Jen, on in or around March 14th, 1997?
I was delighted. I've talked about, you know, the special editions for me was my first Star Wars game. Experience it in the theaters, being around other fans. It was just a delight. But I do remember being disappointed because Jedi Rocks replaced Lefty Neck. And of course, Victory Celebration replaced the Yub Nub song. So I remember I was so excited for the last moment. And then there it is, Victory Celebration. And now I can appreciate it. But at the time, I was like, sure. I think in theater, I was like, what? What? But walking out of the theater, I was on cloud nine, and I was just like, I am so happy that Star Wars, quote unquote, was back for me. It was a wonderful experience. And so even though I wasn't thrilled with those changes, overall, I made me love Star Wars even more.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And you know, you touch on something too. In all the years we've discussed Jedi Rocks here in the podcast and in real life, I think the biggest problem is that Lefty Neck was gone. That was just one of those, like, come on, that's a banger. Come on, we got to hear that. That might have been it. But hey, Joe Yazza, I've come to a good place with him as well. I think thanks in large part to Databank Brawl, I'll say that. But Joseph, you walk out of the theater. It's probably a little, it's probably springtime for you there. You know, it's not as That's how weather works out there. Where was your Star Wars thoughts?
I think it was still pretty damn cold. I remember that as a cold, hard winter. But no, I think I was in a better place because it was my reaction to it was not as rough as my friends. I remember talking about and really loving the Boba Fett edition of him flirting with Rystal Sand. and if you watch the trajectory of that, like Leia and Chewie come in. Leia disguises Bush Bosh Boosh, however you choose to pronounce it. And the band stops. And then those two backup singers go over to Boba Fett. This is where we want to be when this all goes down. But it made his, the cockiness of needing to fly out there and take out the Jedi and not pay attention to what's around him. Like just this little picture of personality, the mysterious Boba Fett, that he's pretty full of himself, full of himself. So I remember loving that and having that debate and people going like, all right, I guess that was good. The Lefty Neck was hard for me. And I think you said it well, Ken, I was definitely challenged by Joe Yowza's tonsils at the time.
Same.
But it was more just like, that's a banger. I don't even know this word banger. It's from the future, but Lefty Neck, it's a banger. Yeah. The Yub Nub replacement didn't, I was more thrilled by expanding the vision to see that the entire galaxy was happy about this.
Yeah.
I remember being like, the song, but I really, really love this. I also had a, I think I've mentioned this before, a weird experience with the Yub Nub where I was doing a lot of theater in college, but I wasn't in the theater department. And my brother and I did a variety show that was kind of within the theater department. Some of the theater department people kind of looked down their noses at us and grumbly. And the kind of cool kids, their big finale for the variety show is like they very slowly came out in like suits and with like a stand up bass, and there's all this like cool jazz attitude of we're gonna do a cool jazz thing. And then they played a cool jazz version of Yub Nub, and it was funny and it was great. And it was like, I don't know, seconds before this film came out. And so that's all I could think about is like, that's it for their Yub Nub bit.
Oh, no.
Love that there. But yeah, you both had positive vibes. Yeah, that's where I was too. Yeah, this one challenged me. All the stuff we talked about and we'll talk about again. I think some of that has been smoothed out. Look, even the Sarlacc, what I would call the Feed Me Seymour Sarlacc for decades, that didn't fully heal until Book of Boba Fett. I just rewatched that scene. That's a terrifying scene. I'm completely fine with the Sarlacc designed that way now. It totally works. It took that long for me to be 100%. I'm good with that, George. You're good. So, hey, maybe George, don't you worry. There'll be a series on a streaming service. A what now? But yes. I'm with you both. The vibe with Star Wars was back. And I think, you know, you didn't know what was coming, but we knew the movies were being made around this time. I remember being excited at my radio station, hanging out with my friend Megan, the night DJ. We were just both like excited. And I just remember looking at her going, there's new Star Wars content being made right now. And that just blows my mind. And that feeling is still with me to this day. I get excited where, you know, someone has seen a cut of Acolyte and I haven't. Oh my God, that's great. I can't see it. So I had that vibe. in a major way. You know, I was playing Star Wars Monopoly. I was getting the Power of the Force figures. It was like, it was crazy that decades old property, which really wasn't that long ago, 83 to 97, not that long. But it was just, the vibe was good. So even though there were some things that I, you know, would go make fun of with my friends, I think I've learned and grown up that that's not the feeling to take from it. If you feel joy, run towards joy, and everything else will follow when it comes to Star Wars and maybe life. We'll figure that out. All right. That is it for this week. Thank you all for hanging out with some Star Wars news. Another big week of Star Wars content on the way. Some Bad Batch, some Mando, some Q's and A's for you on Friday. Check our YouTube channel, all that stuff out. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod, Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. We are also on Instagram. You can check out a lot of content there. We have reels over there, but those are also YouTube shorts. Check them out there as well on YouTube. Subscribe. Get notified on live events, live Q&As, essays, figure fights, fourth episode coming up this week. And it is a great one. Podcasts available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly, as Joseph said, up top. We've got some wonderful things going on at patreon.com/ForceCenter. And don't forget, from there, you get into our Discord as well. You can follow me at KatNapsock. Go to KatNapsock.com. Usually I promote upcoming comedy shows. Well, one of the big ones is in London on April 9th. We got a show coming there. I'm so excited for that one. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw, Twitter, Mastodon, Instagram. More friends joining me over on Instagram, so please do that. And then my YouTube page, I am putting up more short films, more comedy, so go check that out. In particular, my most recent short film that I put up there is called Unboxing the Cosmos. If you'd like to check that out, please do. And yeah, very excited for our show in London. As of a recording, we have one ticket left, standing room ticket. So thank you for all the Force Center listeners who have gobbled up the tickets. We might have some at the door, so we will keep letting you know as the show gets closer.
That's exciting. Looking forward to it. I got a brand new shirt picked out, kids. I got a brand new shirt. It's going to be fun. Chen, where can they find and follow you?
I want to be like a Force ghost, like Hayden Christensen appearing at the comedy show in the back. Oh, I wish I could be there. You can find me on Instagram and YouTube, where I'm putting out lots of content, at Jennifer Landa, at Jennifer Landa 1138 on TikTok. I'm sharing that Academy Awards program that I mentioned today, and lots of Mandalorian stuff, and some, you know, posts about Wookiee boots, because why not?
Gotta get them Wookiee boots. All right, my friends. So for Yub Nub and the Ewoks and Wookiee boots, we'll see you next time here on Force.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.